We're in a topic that years ago was not seen as being all that important here in the United States, but because of what is happening in the culture, it is increasingly important. And it deals with demonism. Christ's identity as God's Savior by His ministry over demons. Luke chapter 8, 26 to 39. If Jesus Christ is God's true Savior of the world, not a satanic deceiver, we should expect Him not only to oppose demons, but to demonstrate God's complete power over them and their activities. I've talked with Christians who have come from backgrounds of the occult or witchcraft, and often they're actually afraid to speak about a subject like this because they know the power of the evil one and the forces. And I often have to share with them out of Colossians 1 that we've been translated from Satan's dominion into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So you don't have to fear this at all. Now, God doesn't want us to try to interact with demons or angels or anything. Our focus should be on doing the Lord's will. That will get you into trouble. But we aren't supposed to. If we're doing the will of God, we have nothing to fear because there's a tremendous protection that God provides us. But it's very important to be aware of what's going on in demonism and demonic activities because I'm convinced that we're seeing more of it. And not so much demon possession. We haven't gotten that far yet like they did in third world countries like in Nigeria where I grew up. There was a lot more of that. But we're seeing more activity of the evil one who puts pressures on people. And there's a lot of demonic pressure that can show up even externally. So the Luke 8, 26 to 39 testimony of Christ's supremacy over demons is thus important, not only to people in third world nations, but to folk in Western nations, where increasing numbers traffic in demonic activity. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it in depth. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26 and going to verse 39. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. This is on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is on the opposite side of Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had demons long time. He wore no clothes, neither did he stay in any house, but he abode in the tomb caves. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil out into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils or demons were entered into him. A legion is a group of soldiers between 3,000 and 6,000. So there might have been as many as could have been up to 6,000 demons in this man. So his case was drastic. It was a horrible situation. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the abyss. The abyss is where God is going to cast all demons eventually in the end time. And there was a herd of many pigs feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he permitted them. Then went the demons out of the man and entered into the pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. This steep place is still there in the east side, Sea of Galilee. When an animal starts to go down, there's no way it can stop. It'll just fall head over heels and go into the water. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were terrified. They also which saw it told them by what means that was possessed of the demons had been healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus to leave them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. In other words, he crossed over to the western shore. Now the man out of whom the demons had departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus said unto him, sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now this entire passage is extremely important. When Jesus arrived at the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, he was met by a man who was long and humanly, hopelessly demon-possessed. Now, The humanly hopeless condition of this man is described in verses 27 to 30 as follows. This man was indwelt by thousands of demons. The legion that Jesus said, "What is your name?" And they said, "Legion," because of the devil, there were many devils. A legion is between 3,000 and 6,000. We know from Mark chapter 5, verse 9, which is a companion passage of this, that there were about 2,000 pigs. Now, for each of those pigs to go, each of those pigs had to have been possessed by a demon. So the man had at least around 2,000, probably a lot more. He could have had 6,000 demons in him. We don't know. But this is an extreme case. Mary Magdalene was a woman out of whom there had been 7 demons that had been cast. This man was a basket case. So if Jesus could ever show his power, this would be the classic case. Now, this man wore no clothes due to the effects of being demon-possessed. You'll notice in verse 27, he wore no clothes. Can I say something? In our society, there is a tendency to go scanty in clothing. That's not only not of God. I believe that is pressured by evil spirits. The unclothing of the human body is something that does not attract the glory of God. Ever since Adam and Eve recognized their situation, when they recognized their nakedness, they wanted to clothe themselves. That was appropriate. So when you see this type of activity where there's a tendency to take it off or become scanty, that is a signal that you may be running into a spirit activity that is at least influencing the party from the outside. So you can see it's pretty rampant, but that's what this man would do. The man did not live an orderly home life, but was unruly, living in tomb caves. He neither abode in the house, but in tombs. I'd like to say something else. We hear a lot about dysfunction and dysfunctional families. I believe a lot of that is pressured by evil spirits. We're not talking about demon possession, where the demons actually come in and dwell the person, but pressure. My wife is telling me today she was outside of a home at one point, and she actually heard the husband and the wife yelling at the wife at the top of his lungs. That's not of God. There's absolutely no reason for anything like that. And a wife shouldn't be yelling at her husband or anything. That's absolutely uncalled for. They should work out differences some other way. But the tremendous pressure, the dysfunction that occurs, and increasingly there's a case that I've been involved with people that we would know in the church where there is a tremendous amount of dysfunction. That's satanic. Satanic pressure involved. So we've got to watch out for that. And if we face it ourselves, we need to realize immediately if we're running into spirit activity, we really need to get right with the Lord and watch it. And be very, very careful. Because God is a God of order, not a God of dysfunction and disorder. Also, people had tried to restrain the man with chains and fetters, but he had repeatedly broken them. Now, these would have been chains and fetters of iron. If you ever run into a demon-possessed person, never, never try to touch them or restrain them. You can get killed. And I'm not kidding. In Acts, was it 19? I think there was a case where there were 7 Jews tried to exorcise a man of demons, and the demon-possessed man beat them up, stripped them, and they fled out of the house, all 7 men, for their lives. I saw a photograph of the body of a full-grown man who had been killed by a 90-year-old demon-possessed woman. They can convert spiritual power into physical power, very, very strong. What you do if you ever face a situation like this, you plead the blood of Christ and you just speak with the command of Christ. You don't touch them, don't do anything. And the demon will try to get you off center or try to entertain you some way to keep you from your job, but you stay with the job. But it's interesting. Very, very strong. They could not contain the man. The man was also antisocial. He would leave inhabited places to go far from others into the wilderness. You'll notice that verse 29, oftentimes he'd caught him and was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Extreme antisocial behavior can be demonic. Now, sometimes there are other psychological reasons why people can be antisocial, but extreme antisocial behavior, I would look for evil spirits to be involved in something like that, because people normally like to be around and need human companionship or friendship. Now, there are people who are more gregarious than others, But we're talking about the person doesn't want to be around anybody at all. That's a warning sign. So we need to watch out for that. Then the demons in the man wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Of course, that's a classic situation. If there's a person who's being pressed or pressured or influenced by evil in the name of Christ or the Lord or fellowship with the Lord is something they absolutely cringe from. This man wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and he begged him in a loud voice through the man not to torment them before the time when God judges them. In Nigeria many years ago, there were some missionaries. They went into a village. A witch doctor was there, and they began speaking about the gospel. And as soon as they mentioned the name of Jesus, the witch doctor, who'd never heard of the name Jesus before, screamed at the top of his voice. He went running away, clapped his hands over his ears, and he said, "Don't say that name again. Don't say that name again." Demonism. So, we have to keep this in mind. The demon-possessed man was used of the demons to try to discredit Jesus. Now, this is very interesting. Verse 31, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And there was a herd of many pigs feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he allowed them. Now, what's going on here? The demons are trying to discredit Jesus. No matter what, demons and demonism are always trying to discredit God and God's people, especially God's servants. So you have to watch out for this. Pigs were ceremonially unclean animals, not to be eaten by Jews according to the law. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4 and 7 indicated that that was the case. So by asking Jesus to enter the pigs, Jesus would be cornered in having his credibility threatened in one of two ways. If Jesus did not permit the demons to enter the pigs, he would be charged with supporting the eating of pigs in violation of the law. But if he let them go into the pigs, you can bet that the demons were going to cause the pigs to be killed by falling off the cliff and going into the water. Now, with the drowning of the 2,000 pigs, people are raising 2,000 pigs for money. So if, because of Jesus' action, these pigs die, that's going to make Jesus look like he's not only someone who destroys animals, but he's harmful to their business, and so they're going to want him out of the area. So either way, there was an effort here to try and destroy the credibility of the Lord Jesus. Well, Jesus solved this humanly hopeless situation in great victory over the demons to God's glory. And can I just say this in passing. Our Savior has absolute victory over principalities and powers and so forth. The Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and my Savior, has total victory. All we need to do is to rely upon the Lord, and we have complete victory here. Jesus chose to let the demons enter the pigs in order to keep the Mosaic law. Now, I think this is a tremendous direction. What God wants us to do is not worry about what's going to happen to our reputation. He just wants us to do that which is right. He'll take care of our reputation later, as he takes care of Jesus' reputation later here. The right thing to do was not to give the impression that you were supportive of raising pigs in violation of the law when you're under the law. So that's why Jesus let them go into the swine. He knew that they would kill the swine. Of course, he was not in favor of that, but he knew that would happen. But that was the only choice that he had at this point. Now, when the people of the area heard what Jesus had done, they came out to meet him. They were amazed to see the formerly humanly, hopelessly demon-possessed man was no longer possessed. This is an amazing fact. In verse 35, they went out to see what it was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. And notice, the devils were departed. He didn't just cast 1,000 out or 1,500 out. All the demons had gone out like that. That's power. Because the demons are angelic beings or fallen angels. And let me tell you, an angel has a lot more power than any one of us. And for all of these demons to be cast out by Jesus just sending them out shows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God. And he had tremendous power. Just by his word, they fled. Now, not only had the demons gone out, but opposite, the man was, instead of being unclothed, he was now fully clothed. I love to read this. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right hand. One of the marks of a person who is truly saved from a life that is awful, or a person who is filled with the Spirit, is they want to clothe themselves properly. That's something. They want to dress and look like a Christian. They don't try to look like the world. They want to look like a Christian. So this is something to keep in mind. Even clothing, whether we're scantily clothed, trying to be as worldly as we can, or whether we're clothed properly to look like we're decent, godly people. That often is a signal of what happens in the heart. Well, opposite this past disorderly manner of life, the man was sitting at orderly rest. One of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit is that a person is at peace. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Just a regular person being calm. That's called being filled with the Spirit. If you were to meet the Lord Jesus in his earthly life, one of the things you would have noticed about him was that he was calm. He was relaxed. That's why children dared to approach him. He was approachable. He wasn't tense. He wasn't wrought up, geared up all the time. So this is something we need to keep in mind. Also, this man, instead of being untamed, was now sitting at Jesus' feet. When he was sitting at Jesus' feet in that culture, that meant he was in submission to Jesus. This man, who nobody could tame, is now sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a transformation occurs when a person comes to know the Lord. And then, where he initially had not wanted to have anything to do with Jesus, this man begged to be with Jesus. Notice in verse 38, now the man out of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with the Lord Jesus, go wherever he wanted. So different from where he had been before. Now, opposite his antisocial behavior, this man now was sent back to his home by the Lord to testify of the great things that God had done for him. Verse 39, return now to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you. And of course, opposite the efforts of the demons to discredit Jesus by entering into the swine to make them drown, Jesus sent the former demon-possessed man to witness. And notice, he proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for him in support of Jesus' good reputation. See, God took care of the reputation question by the changed life of this man. This man went back. And of course, everybody in the area knew how he'd been terribly demon-possessed, and he testified of Jesus. It's interesting, later, Jesus was able to feed the 4,000 on this side of the sea, the same area where the people had sent him away because of this event. Because of this man's testimony, it opened the door for Jesus to come back and feed the 4,000. This is an area where there were a lot of Gentiles. That's why they raised the pigs there. A lot of Gentiles would eat these pigs. So this was an amazing transformation that occurred. So Jesus gained total victory over demons and demonic activity in Luke 8, 26-39. Sorry for the leaving out the 6 there. Demonstrating that he was God's sinless Savior of the world to be believed for great victory over Satan's domain. All right? May we believe in Jesus as God's sinless Savior. And then, may we, in the Holy Spirit's power, avoid the vices promoted by demons, like scanty attire, disorder, wildness, antisocial behavior, discrediting God or the godly as evil, and submit to Christ for godly behavior, such as being fully clothed, calm in our right minds, and testifying to the great things God has done for us. Now, these are not the only vices or differences in behavior that are seen between evil spirit influences by evil spirits and so forth, and the God. There are other passages, I think, right away of James. James chapter 3 talks about how when a person is influenced by demonic forces, he's sensual, extremely sensual. There are other characteristics there in James chapter 3. So, but this gives us a flavor of what goes on in this type of realm. So, of course, the key is to being filled with the Spirit of God, relying upon the Holy Spirit, so that we can have the proper behavior and then victory over people in this type of situation.